You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show.
May God bless you, keep you always.
Oh my goodness.
May your wishes.
Welcome, everyone.
May you always do for
I think we should just sing this song.
May all always do for you.
May you build your ladder to the sky. Climb on every rung.
May you stay forever young.
There we go. Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing. We are here doing Parenthood.
Yes.
Yay. Yes. I'm so excited. First after show for Parenthood. It is season 5, episode 1, It Has to Be Now. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini, and joining me, I have my two lovely co-hosts.
Hey, guys. I'm Tiana Hobson.
And I'm Danica Kennedy.
Oh, I'm so excited to do Parenthood. I've been begging Phil for a good part of a year to start this show.
Me too. And we both annoyed him enough. So here we are.
And
big fans of the show.
We are. And season 5 is finally here. So let's just kick off this episode. What did you think? Overall thoughts.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm so excited that it's back. I felt like I was catching up with my family after being away for a long time because I consider the Bravermans my family, even though they're white and I'm black. Jasmine's a part of it, too. So
they're part of everybody's
family. I'll find
a way
to squeeze my way in there.
I like that.
I'm adopted.
I am so happy this show's back. It's one of those shows where they leave you with all these cliffhangers, and especially with the end of season 4, so much happened, you know. Cancer was over, you know, there's adoptions happening, all this craziness going on, and I'm excited to have the show back to have everything answered, too.
Exactly. I love how everyone's coming back, and because there are so many people, this is an ensemble show, there are so many different storylines we can take and still want to follow and still want to be a part of every week, and now that it's back, we can finally talk about them. So let's start with Jasmine and Crosby. The last time we saw them, Jasmine is pregnant, but now, and the last episode aired in, I believe, June. So if we're going real time, 9 months later, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She's about ready to pop. And so Jasmine and Crosby, they're shopping in store looking for baby stuff. They haven't had anything yet. I'm surprised with that huge Braverman family, you haven't done a baby
yeah,
shower
no,
yet?
Yeah, no hand-me-downs?
No or diapers or wipes?
Yeah, they're
like,
looking
that's
for
what
a car seat.
Shower, baby showers are for.
And they're always arguing every single scene they're in. They're bickering. She goes into labor and they're still arguing over the car seat. It's like, okay, it's time to forget about the car seat. You'll get one later.
I love how he also throws out there, oh, it's probably just Braxton Hicks. And I was like, okay, Crosby, did you go, like, you Google that beforehand?
Such a man response, a manly response to be in denial, be like, oh, no, you're not in
labor. We're not ready yet. No. We didn't buy a car seat yet, so.
We don't have a name.
Let it cook.
And totally natural for a guy, and I'm not saying just guys do this, but, like, just to be, people think we're going now. What? It's happening now, and they have no idea what to do. And they're just completely dumbstruck and forget everything. I thought that was funny. So the baby's born.
And you know what I thought was funny is that the baby was not black at all when it came out.
You know, sometimes we take a little longer to toast up.
Burnt toast, it cooked a little longer.
You know, we gotta, sometimes we come out and then, you know, the pigment, it's actually a real thing. My little brother was born looking like a white child, and now he's one of the darkest people I know.
Love brown Zuzu. People knew.
Exactly. So, you know, and the big joke was that, you know, oh, he's the milkman's baby or something because he was literally a white baby. So,
Funny. I was kind of thinking that at first when the baby popped out, I was like, ooh, another plot twist. Like, he's going to have another dad. And then I was like, wait, the dad's the white one. That doesn't make sense. I had to like.
I thought so too. I was like, wow, that's a really white baby. So they say. And I loved how all this happened even before the credits. This is really fast. I'm like, wow, she.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
She had a very fast delivery. Props to her.
We just found out that she was pregnant. So. Yeah.
She's pregnant. She had the baby all in 6 minutes.
Well, I have to ask you guys, do you think that they just started, you know, fast forward and they're going to have to go back and explain everything now?
I don't think so.
Or they're just kind of picking up, you know, 9 months later?
I think they're kind of picking up in that, you know, a lot of the storylines today was kind of catching up on people's lives, filling in kind of the gaps. A little bit. I think tonight, like, things happen, but not anything, like, huge happen. I think tonight was just kind of, like, introducing and reintroducing the family to the audience.
Yeah.
It was a, so, it was like a pretty action-packed, though, for the first episode of a season, yeah. I have to say, though.
There's, like, a lot of new information coming in, but it was also a lot of setup for what's to come.
Exactly. And so we had the new baby in the family. That family just keeps growing and growing. Because the last episode we had, someone got adopted into the family. Now someone's born into the family. Just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So now, Jasmine and Crosby, they're kind of suffering postpartum depression. Crazies. Having this baby. And it's only been 4 days. I understand. It's hard. I've never had a baby. But I've grown up with babies, and I know what it's like in that environment. It can be stressful, and especially throwing the whole Braverman families to your house, expecting them to only be there for 1 hour.
Crosby,
that was not going to happen.
Crosby was on something when he was like, oh, it's only going to be for an hour. When has your family ever only done something for an hour?
And the very first person you see is Camille with this big bowl of food, and you're like, yeah, they're not going to be there for
They're moving
than an
in
hour.
At that point.
Pretty much.
They were coming for the long
I
haul.
Felt bad for Jasmine because I'm like, I need my alone time, and if I just popped out a baby, I'm going to be in hibernation mode for the next month. Like, no one's going to see me, and then I'm just going to come out and be all skinny all of a sudden. But that was my plan. But I could not imagine popping out a baby and having the Braverman tribe terrorize my house when I haven't had sleep.
I mean, have the grandparents over to come meet the grandchild. You know, have, like, them come in their own individual families.
Exactly.
But everyone at the same time when you're already not getting sleep. Crosby's a new dad because he wasn't around when Jabari was
a baby.
You know, he's never gone through this. So he doesn't know what to expect. So you have all these people, and I felt really bad for Jasmine. She was trying to be nice, but you could also tell she was like, get the F out of my house.
Oh, yeah. I do feel for Jasmine because the first time she had no one, she didn't have the Braverman, she didn't even have Crosby to help raise Jabari, and now for the second child, she has everyone. So it is a grand difference from the first child. And Crosby is having some troubles with the new baby as well, asking Adam for help. Does this... do the babies always act like this? Is this temporary? Can I get my 8 hours of sleep back a night?
Well, he feels like he doesn't have that emotional connection to the baby yet. And that's kind of a horrible feeling. If you're having a baby for the first time, you're supposed to be like, oh, I'm emotionally connected and in love with it. And that's kind of why I love this show, though, because, I mean, this has to happen to everyone. They keep it real. Like, parents have kids and they have these same feelings, and it'll be interesting to see how their relationship grows and develops as the kid does.
I'm not really worried about Crosby because he's a great father to Jabari and to the other kids in the family, so I'm not worried that he won't grow into the fathership role right now. But I think I know some people who had newborns, and it changes their life upside down, and maybe might create some resentment a little bit because they're not used to it and it's changing everything.
Yeah.
And it's just not the way that they like it. But they know in the long run that he will be, like, his son. And, like, he will truly, unconditionally love this baby.
And let's be honest, guys. Newborns are boring.
Dealing with newborns is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they can't really do anything yet. They're not, like, entertaining you. It's not like, oh, look how cute she is when she, like, whips her hair, you know. Newborns just kind of sit there and they cry and they want to be fed. Exactly.
But like, so
my suggestion to Crosby is he needs to go get a baby Bjorn. Bjorn, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's supposed to, yeah, because that's supposed to, like, you know, get you close and intimate with your child, and it's a good tool for fathers because the mothers have the honor and the privilege of having a human being grow inside of them for 9 months, so of course they feel connected, but the father is just always on the outside, like, oh, I'm not breastfeeding, I'm not doing any of these things, you know, so he has to find his thing with to connect with the baby.
And I think there'll be more scenes with just him and the baby to show that growing bond between the two. And I think maybe if they showed a fun Braverman baby shower, he'll get one of those.
Yeah.
Baby
Bjorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I think I want to see more of Crosby with this baby, kind of just being like, what am I supposed to do with you? Because I see Crosby being that kind of dad with, like, a newborn baby, like, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
Dax Shepard has a baby with Kristen Bell, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it's, like, new, because I think it was born a while back, but yeah, relatively so. Yeah. Just had a baby.
It's kind of like life imitating art. Mm-hmm. Kind of love it. All right, so first of all, thank you, everyone, for downloading all of our AfterBuzz TV shows. Parenthood is a brand new show, brand new panel. We love the show. I love this show.
I
got so
it.
Many people hooked on this show. It's amazing. So we please go to iTunes, search AfterBuzz TV Parenthood. Give us some comments. Give us some ratings. Brand new show. Brand new episode. This is awesome. And then while you're on iTunes, you can also download Adventures of Serial Buddies. Amazing comedy. And instead of downloading as well, you can also purchase it on DVD.
Woo!
Yes, our founders and our creators here at AfterBuzz, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, they created this amazing, hilarious movie chock full of comedians. Artie Lang, Kathy Lee Gifford, Beth Bears, Maria herself. Dexter Meets Dumb and Dumber. It's an amazing movie. So please help AfterBuzz by purchasing it, and you can get a funny movie in return. And helps us out keep the lights on.
Definitely.
Go do it.
Yes. All right, so Joel and Julia. Julia, she's a stay-at-home mom now, because the last episode we saw, she decided to quit her law firm. And she's a stay-at-home mom and supporting Joel now. I feel like their careers are never on the same level. It's always one person working, one person stays at home. They're never really both working.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a workaholic, though, and she's going to want to have that, you know, urge to get back into the working industry.
Yeah.
I just feel like she's kind of that uptight, like, I'm, like, a lawyer and I have to be perfect and, like the overachiever kind of worker
in
a way.
Yeah, she's very that A-type personality, and that's her. You can see she's getting antsy. She's going, we see her at this interview for this new, hopefully a new law firm, a new position. And the guy who's interviewing her is asking for recommendations from her last law firm.
Yeah, that didn't end so well.
All her eggs in one basket. She had that one job, the amazing career, but since she quit on bad terms, she doesn't have the recommendation.
I kind of feel like maybe if she had explained in that meeting when he said, you know, oh, so, you know, I'm going to have to call over there. If she was honest from there, because she knows that they're going to say something like, oh, well, you know, actually didn't end the best over there. My work speaks for itself, stands out on its own. But me and What's-His-Face got into it, and I chose to go be with my family over the stress of work. Maybe it would have, you know, at least they hear your side and their side.
Yeah.
At least give yourself a fighting chance.
It kind of makes me question Julia, because we know that she's this straight-laced, kind of uptight person, and to make her not think of other alternatives and other places she could work at before she officially resigned her job or quit, It just questions, like, why she wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, thinking back on that episode last season, it was really just her finally coming to terms and realizing her own worth and wanting to get away. She knew that she needed to get away from there because it was making her crazy.
Yeah. I feel like she was kind of impulsive, like, screw this place, I'm out of here, and didn't really, like, think of planning ahead in the moment because she was just so fed up and over it. That's kind of the sense I got. But in this episode, you know, he has his job meeting. We'll dive into that later. But the meeting with Pete, who's a girl.
Yeah.
By the way, why didn't her husband mention that Pete was a girl? Isn't that
Just saying.
Kind of a little
your
shady.
Your husband doesn't say anything about Pete being a girl till you're answering the door. That means that something might be
but
up.
But mention Pete before that.
Yeah, something might be up. But we also see Julia. She's concerned about her career that she's trying to start again. And mm-hmm. Joel's career is kind of on the up and up right now. He's at this... we see the family at first at this empty lot mm-hmm. trying to place a bid on it so they can win and build a site on it. So I loved Sydney in this scene. Profit margin. That girl is too smart for her own good.
I don't know what a profit margin
me
is.
Me neither. I felt really dumb while watching that scene. I'm like, okay, she's playing with sticks with Victor and talking about
profit margin.
Profit margins.
I was like, and I just got schooled by a six-year-old, and it's not cool.
I need to go back to, like, kindergarten, I think, and relearn a few things.
My thing is just, you know, I must have missed that day of third grade when they talked about profit margins. I was out sick,
or
so
I must
that's why
miss,
I don't know.
Missed that class in college when they actually teach it, you know. So, but Joel actually ends up getting the lot. Yeah. So, it's a big career, opportunity for him and his contracting business because it's for 2 years.
Yeah, it's 2 years of work, so at least they know they're going to have a steady income
steady job.
That way. And I mean, I'm happy for Joel because I feel like he, for so long, was kind of, not the butt of the joke, but, you know, he was just kind of, like, there without really anything to do.
And now he's
and
the
now
one
he's
with
kind
the
of
job.
The one with the job, and he's really happy, and you can just see Julia is happy for him and supportive, but at the same time, it's killing her a little bit because she's used to being that person.
Yeah.
And she so badly wants to get back into it. Like, when they were having that meeting with Pete, I thought she was going to stab herself when she had to say that she was a stay-at-home mom. Like, I'm just here.
But then
like, that kind of killed her a little bit inside.
That she wasn't. Pete was like, I could tell that you were more than just a housewife. Not mm-hmm. to be offensive, but I could tell.
And which is always offensive.
Yeah, it is offensive. Because
so it's already, like claws out
just
with these two.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be some hissing soon in the next episode. Gonna get worse, but I feel like there was something weird with that whole situation for sure. But I feel like Julia's a little bit jealous of Joel. Like when she was mm-hmm. laying in the hammock with him, she was kind of acting like he was her therapist, you know, going on and on about how she was sad about the job and stuff. And then he gets the great call saying that he got his. Mm-hmm. I mean, she said that she was fine, don't worry about me, I'll open wine to celebrate, but you know that she's deep down jealous and wishing that she still had a career.
And she wants to get back on that working horse. And good for her. I mean, like, she wants to get started.
Yeah, she
I
did.
Mean, that's the kind of person she is.
Yeah, she did her time at home. She got her kids back on the right path. She bonded with Victor finally mm-hmm. and, you know, settled all that. So now she's like, okay, now I can go off because I know that my home situation's good. So hopefully she won't be business blocked for long.
No, and I think she's the kind of person who can immediately get back into it. Like,
you know what?
A day hasn't passed. And 9 months has passed, so that's a long time to be not working in your field.
She's probably just going to start her own firm. Maybe. She's good enough.
And you know,
with a husband who can already, like, who's going to be having a steady income, like, she doesn't have to work right now. She could go and start her own business.
I was going to maybe use this as a prediction, but screw it. I'm just going to say it now. What if she worked for Christina becoming mayor?
Yes.
I think that would
Your
be a really
After
good
Buzz
deal.
Buzz TV predictions.
I just did a prediction. But I feel like that would be like a power couple business-wise. Yeah.
See, the thing, okay, and let's talk about Christina mm-hmm. going from there. We see Bob Little come back into the picture, this old campaign manager, man who ran for mayor, who Christina worked for. He comes back into the picture and offers her a job to run his mayoral campaign.
But he's also the guy that we don't like.
Yeah.
Because he's a liar and sleeps around with family members. Yeah. He's a sneaky guy. Yeah.
Didn't treat Amber
I'm not a fan.
Well.
Yeah. No. Not a fan. So I was kind of more on Adam's side when he was like, why would you go work for someone who we don't like and don't trust? Like, completely give up everything you believe in to go work for a guy just because he's offering you, like, this job.
And a person who can literally intervene in your personal family mm-hmm. and mess that up, too. It's not just business. It is personal, and he messed that up. And I think there is some unresolved issues, and there's still that water under that bridge, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Well, she goes and talks to her friend who's going through chemo. Gwen.
Yeah.
Gwen.
I always forget her name. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so bad.
Who has relapsed, mm-hmm. and she's not looking too good, unfortunately. No,
but she's hung around this long.
Yeah, she's still
in the finale is when we found out that she had, you know, gone into relapse, so she's still there, so
yeah, she's still
maybe there's still hope to turn her around.
Hopefully. She wasn't looking too good, though, in this last scene, and she had the greatest little monologue for 5 seconds, though. She was giving Christina advice about her career, and she was like, you can't wait for the opportunity. Like, you have to seize the moment. You know, they're mm-hmm. saying carpe diem the whole episode. So it's like, just do it. Like, you have to take the opportunity and just go for it. So she decides, I'm going to run for mayor myself and run against him, which I love. Get it, girl. Girl power.
Yeah, and the thing is, I can actually see Christina win. She knows how the whole business is run. She can get anyone that she feels is good enough to help run this campaign. Mm-hmm. And she is the kind of person who you should look forward to. She has great morals and great values and great family and business person
she's likable too. Yeah. Way more than Bob Little.
Oh, totally.
That snake.
And she's more experienced than Bob Little. Bob Little is young, yes, but she has way more experience in the field, and she knows what she's doing. Now that she's healthy, she can do it. I say go for it.
I say so too. I like how we're giving fictional characters advice this whole time.
I would totally you go, girl. Vote for Christina if I lived in Berkeley and was voting for the mayor of Berkeley.
Me too. Yeah,
definitely. Like,
got our vote.
Vote Braverman. There you go. So, and we also see Christina. She's healthy. She's on the up and up. She's very positive now, trying to spice up her love life with Adam.
Those two are so funny.
Get a motel.
They're always freaky. They're always trying to like spice things up. Like, you got, you know, Adam calling his dad like, hey man, mm-hmm. trying to get it in.
Going back to Funky Town.
Yeah.
That was awesome. A little creepy, but that was pretty funny. But I love Adam and Christina, their whole relationship. They have been through all these trials and tribulations. Adam has been fired from his job. They got through it. They had unexpected pregnancies. They got through it. Mm-hmm. They have gone through cancer, and they're still together. So I think this is one really strong relationship that is obviously better than all the other ones.
Yeah.
So, or the strongest, I should say, out of the whole parenthood.
They've got a definitely strong foundation, and it'll be interesting to see how it's tested with a political campaign, because we all know that dirty laundry comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't think that you have dirty laundry, they find dirty laundry, and it comes out.
That's the best part of politics, though, is the dirt and the gossip, and the Bravermans have plenty of that to go around. Which makes her even a better candidate in a way, because people love hearing that stuff. I know, I'm so like, ooh, gossip. But I think she would be great.
I got a prediction, but I won't.
You're gonna save
it? I'll save it.
For the right time.
Okay, fine. I just get so excited about these things. I just can't control myself.
You should be excited. So, so she's running for Berkeley, the mayor. I think she'll get it. Hopefully. That'd be actually real cool.
I think they'll get through fine. They've been through so much, so many other problems, you know, mm-hmm. besides a campaign.
It'll be a fun campaign to watch.
Yeah.
And speaking of Berkeley, Drew. He's at the University of Berkeley.
UC Berkeley.
Yeah, UC Berkeley.
Got in. Very hard to get into.
Yes, the last episode we saw, he got accepted. Now he's at Berkeley. They live in Berkeley, and he hasn't had any or hardly any communication with his mother.
Too cool.
I mean, I don't know. Is he living at a dorm, like on campus, and there goes that relationship is kind of separated now?
I think he's living on campus. I went to school 10 minutes from where my parents lived, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm living on campus. I need to experience college just because I'm close to home. Right. I don't want it to falter, like, how I experience college. So, I mean, I kind of get what he's doing because, you know, you're young. You're like, you want to go off and be an adult, but then you get into the best school ever, and it's 10 minutes from your house.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's just trying to find himself and actually enjoy college, and he knows how overbearing Sarah is. And yeah. And the family.
The family's overbearing.
Sarah's even more overbearing than that. So I think he's just trying to kind of find his footing at Berkeley because it's a very artsy, like,
relaxed school. Yeah, I went up to, when I was 18, I wanted to get away from my family and do my own thing. So I moved to San Francisco and hung out in Berkeley for about a year. And then I ran back home to mom and moved back in. That's another story, though. But I feel like when you're that age, a lot of the times you're like, you just want to be an adult and be on your own and be free. And then once you realize how crappy that is, you kind of like drift back to your parents. So I feel like he's in that phase where he's like, BRB, I'm just gonna emoji my mom back with like a fist pump because I'm too lazy to actually talk to her.
And let's think I mean, he went through a lot last year. You know, he had a pregnancy and an abortion and his mom's engagement to his teacher didn't work out. He had to move in with his teacher for a little bit when they were engaged. Like, I think he's just kind of like, you know, mom, like,
Let me step back.
Yeah, so I can remember how to love you.
Hopefully, you know, living on his own will help him grow into an adult and become the older man that we want to see, because he's so timid and so shy, and he'll let anyone, unfortunately, walk all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think him being away, he can find himself, he can build confidence within himself that he will be a stronger man coming out of this.
And when we saw him, I think we both commented, I was like, he looks...
like a beetle.
He looks like a beetle. He looks good. Older. You know,
His hair looked darker. His hair looked darker.
Yeah, and it was like a little longer.
He seems like an adult, though.
Yeah.
He's finding himself.
Like, man, that... You know who else seemed very adult is Max. Did you guys feel that way? Like, he grew up a few years in this episode?
He grew up for a few inches in the last few months.
He grew a lot.
He went from little kid and then, like, went through puberty. And now we're like, oh, okay, Max.
Yeah,
and speaking of Max, his parents give him a radius to walk in, like, a certain area, a distance you can walk away from your house. That's safe zone. I had that growing up. And so he finds himself at Hank's framing store. He looks like he's framing / photography store. Mm-hmm. Hank is back. He obviously didn't stay in Minnesota.
And he obviously hasn't told Sarah that he's back.
No, it's not back. That's going to be interesting.
Which, I mean, Sarah is doing much better now that she dumped him.
Yeah, she dumped him.
I love that they made that so clear. Yep. She obviously went home and told her entire family that she did the dumping and she feels so much better now when he says it was mutual. So, poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And he comes back from Minnesota. Apparently his family is not doing it. That didn't really work out well for him. And now that Sarah made it clear that she dumped him, he's kind of all by himself. He's back to the drawing board just by himself, alone in his own business store.
He's got Max.
Yeah, and now Max is hanging around being typical Max and just questioning everything, saying everything so bluntly that this is bad.
They're a lot alike.
This is bad. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so I am not saying this in any way to be offensive, but does his character, is he supposed to have, like, a mild form of Asperger's?
Yeah, he has Asperger's. I'm not sure how mild. Max.
Hank.
No, I'm not talking about Max. Oh. I'm talking about Hank right now. Because when
he's a little socially awkward.
Because,
like, he doesn't like talking to people.
I wasn't sure if it was, like, socially awkward douchebag, or if it was, like, maybe he actually has, like, an undiagnosed thing, because back in when he was a child, you know, they probably weren't thinking of it, but seeing him and Max together, it's got my mind thinking. I was like, wow, they actually are really similar, and he gets Max. When Hank was talking to Adam, like, Hank was never looking at Adam in the eye, and it was just like a lot of his mannerisms in that conversation reminded me of Max. So I was like, maybe he has a mild form that's undiagnosed or something.
Maybe I can see some similarities, because both Hank and Max, they get so caught up in their own thing that they're doing. They're so myopic, and they can really study and focus on the one true passion that they have. Max with his bugs and everything he loves to read, and then Hank with his photography and his business. They isolate themselves from everybody else. And I think that's where they connected, that they have something in common there.
Yeah.
And Hank fixes Max's camera, but lets Max hang around. And just and he notices that because Max is so attuned to detail, that Max could actually be a good photographer.
I kind of want to see his pictures that he was taking of his family, Max.
Me too.
Because when he just, like, started grabbing his mom's head and, like, turning it, he just grabs the baby out of her arms and, like, puts it on the ground and is like, here, stay still. Like, I kind of want to see how those turned out.
Me too. I feel like they're going to show up later or something and be like, oh, wow, he's such an amazing photographer. They're, like, on display.
I think maybe we'll actually see those photos, but they'll be a lot better than we expected.
Yeah.
Because right now you just see him snapping and be like, oh, he didn't get any framing or composition, whatnot. The lighting was terrible, it was harsh or whatnot. But if it turns out and it's like beautiful artwork, be like, wow, he really has a talent.
It's like, wow, he really captured these moments, like through the chaos of everything that was happening in that scene. There were some beautiful things happening too.
Have you guys seen the show Sherlock on BBC?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay, so Max reminded me of Sherlock, that whole photography scene when he was going around and like talking about the details and the painting and the lighting and all these things. And I was like, he's mini Sherlock. It's so weird.
Yeah, pretty much pay attention to detail.
That's like a genius in a different way.
Yeah, kind of like a savant in a way. So I think, because of the Braverman family, you tell one person, you've told the whole world Sarah is eventually going to find out Hank is back in town. Because we see Adam go down there, talk to Hank, and be like, I'm sorry about Max's behavior. If he's bothering you, just let me know, and I'll cut down his radius, pretty much. And Hank accepts it. He allows it, but that word's going to travel back to Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Sarah's going to find out, and I can't wait to see how her reaction to that is, because she has that drunken tenant, Carl, I think his name is, who she's kind of watching over, who I kind of feel like, even though he kind of offended her by saying, it's okay, we could be friends, I don't date people over 30, offensive. Outside of that, I kind of think that he's slightly attractive, and so that could be kind of like a flirtatious thing happening.
That's what I thought. I was like, Sarah has another man.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sarah, for a woman of her age, she sure does get a lot of action, because most women characters in that age range are like the single moms who have no prospects, but home chick always has a man.
Going to coffee shops. She hangs out in the right places.
I feel like maybe because she doesn't really have a steady career, she has a steady love life.
That is one thing in her life.
I'll give her that.
But she doesn't ever pick the right guy. I feel like her character is bound to pick the wrong guy, and that's just her thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll change.
It will change. Maybe, but in the past, she has had a tendency to fall very quickly for the wrong people.
She fell for Mark. It's just like, I want to see Mark back.
I like Mark. I was not okay with her breaking up with him and, like, choosing Hank. I was you can't break off your engagement one day and go to the bed of the other man the same night.
No.
Like,
come on, girl.
Come on, girl. Like, you were going to marry him.
Yeah.
You
don't do that.
I wasn't really a fan of her with Hank, but just because of how it started.
I preferred Mark over Hank.
I don't think Mark's going to come back, though. Do you guys, as a character?
I think it depends on
if Jason Ritter has another show that he's going
to. I think he's working on another show.
He left
to do the NBC, the event that lasted for a hot minute, and then he came back
to Parenthood. And then he came back because he didn't have a show, so
maybe. We'll see.
So you should just stick on the show that's good, Parenthood, new ones.
So Sarah's a super now? What?
She's, like, the worst super.
Terrible. I loved how she handled the fire alarm.
That's how I handle it. Shut up. How do you take this thing off?
A hammer to it. That's not the most ideal way to fix an alarm. It kind of reminded me of an episode of Friends with Phoebe. Mm-hmm. She was hammering the fire alarm with the shoe or something like that. It was very much in the same manner. It was very comedic. I loved it. And she's a super, and she has all these official duties, and they're like, she's a super, and she does this, and she does that.
I mean, at least she has, like, something steady, and it's something that she can, you know, she's out of her parents' house.
She gets hit on.
Finally, she's out on her own. She's still doing photography, too, so it seems like she's finally kind of found her passion, which is good. Now we just got to work on her men choices.
Yeah, I love when that guy's, the girl Lincoln, came in and she's like, oh my God, look at these pictures. And she started like touching the, yeah, she was like, don't touch him, don't touch him, you're ruining them.
And Sarah had a nice quick moment with Amber for a brief second at that Crazy Braver Man reunion where Amber was feeling a little bit uncomfortable or like, on edge with her relationship with Ryan because he's now out in the force. And I thought that was sweet. I loved how we got that quick mother-daughter relationship still going. And then later on, we see Amber's trying to teach her emojis.
Oh, my gosh. That reminded me of me and my mom.
Same here.
Oh, my gosh. Was that not just the perfect moment for everyone trying to teach their parents?
Everyone had to teach their parents.
What's an emoji? And you're like, an emoji. Here. How do I send one of those smiley... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was so my mother. Sorry, Mom. I know you're watching.
I can understand that because at first it started off with emoticons and now it's emojis. And now what's next?
Exactly. It's like and you have to keep catching
them up. There's so many things to teach them, though. And I love how Amber said to her mom, she's like, well, there goes my morning. All right, here we go.
Gotta teach. Such a realistic thing that so many people can relate to.
I was on the phone with my grandma for probably an hour trying to teach her how to post something on Facebook, trying to describe like the enter and the return button. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Yeah. Like, I was getting so stressed out.
It can be difficult because we were younger. It's so easier to learn. It's easier for us to learn it because we just kind of grew up and we've assimilated to that, where the older adults, it's still... Ironically, it's new to them.
It's foreign to them. Yeah, and we kind of grew up with computers a little bit.
And cell phones, because I'm sure with our parents and that their generation didn't have cell phones when they grew up. So it's a whole different...
Man, that would have sucked.
And we just kind of play around with ours, you know, and we learn. We're like, oh, trial and error. Like, oh, I'm just going to see what this button does. I'm going to press it.
Yeah. And also learning BRB. What does BRB mean?
That's something, though, that I feel like older people, they're afraid that if they press the wrong button, the whole thing is going to, like, blow up or shut down. It's like, no, there's a back. You can get out of the situation if you need to. I think they're afraid
to go too far wrong. Outside.
Yeah, and got to go, the GTG.
Yeah.
I don't write in that. Sorry, I'm literate. I don't. So
I
write
to.
Everything out. Or, Amber... as Sarah also says, like, I'm his mother. I gave birth to him. I deserve the whole Y-O-U, not just the letter U. And I agree with that.
I agree with that, too. What makes her different, though, than my mom is my mom actually makes up her own shorthand for text messages. So I never know what she's saying.
Oh, no.
So that's the other, that's, like, the bad part. It's, like, you can teach them the legitimate ways, like, you know, she's doing what's a BRB. Or they just start making stuff up and you're like, what are you talking about?
That's happened to me too. Like when that first started happening, my mom said something to me and it was all these random letters and I was like, what? And it was like, got to go to the store to pick up. Like it was something like long. I was like, no, that doesn't work that way.
Again, it's another language. It's foreign to them.
Yeah.
So Amber convinces Drew to just give their mom a nice message, be like, yes, I'm okay, just that one standard phone call, or just let you know, because I'm away from you and you're not used to seeing me, you're used to seeing me every day, but you haven't been seeing me lately, just give them an update on your life.
Because she's going through empty nest right now. Both her kids are out, even though Amber's still close by. You know, they're both still close by.
It's like,
but,
Drew's not that far.
But, you know, she's
went
like,
down the street.
She's literally empty nest because she's moved out of her parents' house. She's in this apartment. She's really by herself. And she's putting on a front that she's happy, but I don't really see her as happy.
I think it's good for her, and she just needs a new man in her life because she needs to be pushed out of her parents.
I think she's still pining for Hank, and that the whole I'm better without him is just what girls say when they want to feel like they won.
I don't know. maybe. Yeah. But, like, so I'm just glad the whole Braver Man family is back. Yeah. Like, I feel part of this family because there's so many realistic things that go on with everyone's relationship, and from father to child, from siblings and all, and even relationships that go on and off. It's, like, it's so realistic, and I'm so glad we're doing the show.
Yeah, me too.
Me
and
too.
And I'm happy, for Amber and Ryan.
Yeah, and Ryan, he comes back from the Force, and he proposes.
Which we, okay, the whole time we were watching the episode, we were looking to see if she was wearing a ring, an engagement ring.
She was wearing a ring on her left ring finger the entire show.
Except at the very end when he proposes to her. Yeah.
And it was like a nice ring. It wasn't like one of her dragon rings or anything. It was like a nice ring. And in the finale, we saw them ring shopping, at least, in the finale of last season. Mm-hmm. It was like the montage, and they're, like, peeking in the window. So I was like, wait, so are they engaged or are they not engaged?
That needs to be explained deeper.
But, I mean, I guess maybe it was just one of
like
her
promise ring. Or, maybe. Like,
what did you think of the proposal? Coming back, it was very sweet. In the moment, it's like, yes, I haven't seen you in forever. I'm just going to do this right now. But I feel like if you're going to propose in that way, be like, attention, everybody. I have an announcement to do. Your announcement to make. You know, or whatnot.
Also, she almost thought that he was going to dump her or something. Like, they were having the worst communication. I thought he almost died during that scene. Okay, I have to...
Because
the way they edited that scene... Okay, mm-hmm. I was looking on Twitter before I came here, and I had to stop reading because too many people were ruining the episode for me. I was like, I can't read this because I kept seeing, like, hashtag tearjerker, and then I turned over to you, and I was like, that's the tearjerker. Like, it's so emotional that they edited that scene.
I was just waiting because I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to come in a wheelchair? And, like, he didn't tell her that he was injured. Like, is he not going to come in? Did he die at the last minute? And
so Our hearts are just pounding.
Yeah, when he walked in, I was like, okay, he's walking. That's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, you're expecting the worst because throughout the whole episode, we see Amber questioning, like, where they're at, like, mm-hmm. because she doesn't feel as connected to him. There's obviously this huge distance between them, and long-distance relationships are hard. Mm-hmm. So,
especially in the military. You can't talk about anything.
She didn't even really know where he was even located, so mm-hmm. that made it all the more harder. And then when they were talking via Skype or that phone video conference, like, he froze up, and she still can't even really, really talk to him and have a full-on conversation.
And, I mean, they met when he had just gotten back the last time, so now he's coming back again, so you're like, is he going to relapse into that same guy with the PTSD, and they have a lot of problems. So, I mean, she's right to be scared and of the unknown.
Yeah, but they're engaged now, and that's how we end the episode. I love this episode. This was a great opening premiere episode for the season.
Welcome back, Bravermans.
Yes, welcome back, Bravermans. You're back in our lives, and let's go into some news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, I was looking for news and gossip, and then I saw those Twitter spoilers, and I was like, no, shut my eyes. But I follow all the actors on this show on Instagram. I'm a big fan, so mm-hmm. I've been keeping up with them. And they seem like they're a real family, even when they're not being filmed, because I'm looking at their Instagrams, and, you know, Sam Yeager will, you know, Instagram Craig T. Nelson in front of a soundstage on the Universal lot, like, looking like a champ, and it just says, like, Craig runs this town, or something like that, like, hashtag baller, or, like, I know, just funny things, and they're constantly, you know, posting and doing things like that. I just feel like they're a real family, and I'm, like, part of them, and I'm gonna run into them and be like, Grandpa Zeke, I forgot.
But you actually can run into them because you work on the Universal lot where they film.
I'm a tour guide. I don't know if I'm supposed to mention that, but too late. But I show the Braverman household, so I get really nerdy with this show. Like, I'll be watching it, and I'll be like, okay, they're in the living room, the cyclorama's out, the lighting is, like, around this.
She pointed out, like, that one scene, you're like, oh, that's the Back to the Future town square in the background right there.
Totally.
Oh my gosh, it totally is.
I wanted to bring that up earlier for Ray Romano's Hank's photography studio. It's the same set as his last photography studio. They just, like, emptied it out and redecorated it, and it's the same sets from Back to the Future and Ghost Whisperer, which is kind of cool.
They redressed it. That way to be resourceful. Yeah.
Definitely. No one else would notice that. I mean, like, weirdly.
No,
and then she said it, obsessive. I was looking in the background. I was like, that is totally the Back to the Future lot right there.
Oh, yeah, because that's on the Universal backlot.
Yeah.
And also when they were on the lot for the that they bid on. I'm like, okay, which L.A. Hill are they shooting at? You know?
You're like, is that Runyon in the back, or is that...
That's what I thought. I was like, it kind of looks like Runyon.
That's what I thought. I thought it looked like Runyon, and I was like, no, it's not that mainstream. It has to be Fryman or something, like, yeah. hidden.
Yeah, so, but, and, like, how you're saying they're all, like, family, Amber or Mae Whitman, and I don't know the actor's name, but the boy who plays Drew, they actually live together. And they're, like, best friends. They play brother and sister on camera. And then, like,
and they're roommates
through that, they're, like,
life.
Roommates yeah. and best friends. They go everywhere together. They're adorable. I love them.
They're cute. And Lauren Graham has a new, a fairly new book. It came out a few months ago, Someday Maybe, which I have yet to read, but I'm excited to read it. And it's, I guess, it's getting adapted into a TV movie.
Uh-huh. So do you know what it's about? Is it about her life, or is it fiction?
Does she have a daughter? Can she play the mother? Can Alexis Bledel play the daughter?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that would be amazing. I honestly don't know the premise, and forgive me because I don't, but I just love Lauren Graham and I love reading, and I'm going to read it eventually when my time allows me to. Okay. So with that, let's get into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, craziness. How do we think the baby's going to handle, like, come into their lives? Obviously, you're already stirring up things, but how do you think Cosby and Jasmine are going to handle it?
Baby Aida Braverman.
Aida, yeah.
Aida Braverman. Such an ethnic name.
Aida, what? Braverman.
Do we like the name Aida? I think it's really
unique. If you say it fast
unique.
Like that.
Yeah, Aida.
It's a musical.
I think it goes well with Jabbar. Aida and Jabbar. Like. Yeah. It's a good sibling name, because if it was like Jabbar and Mary, it would be like, oh, that's weird.
I think it's cool. At first, when they showed that scene, I'm like, Aida, really? Okay, I can roll with it. All
yeah,
right.
I like it.
Where do we think Julia? She's running for mayor. I think she's gonna win.
I think she's gonna win.
And I think with Bob Little, secrets get out. They're gonna find out this whole sex scandal.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
He's not going to play nice, I don't think. And that family's going to go through a lot with that. And I think that Joel and Julia's relationship is going to be tested with this Pete character. I think that she has bad intentions. Pete has bad intentions with Joel, because, I mean, who wouldn't? Joel is hot.
Yeah, Joel is,
okay. Seriously.
All right. And I like that Drew's out on his own. And so that relationship, that the whole Sarah, Amber, Drew, it's still the same, really.
I think Sarah and Hank are going to rekindle something. Like, something with their characters is going to happen where they're going to, you know, either meet up again or run into each other, and shit's going to go down.
She's going to awkwardly go over there because someone's going to tell her that he's back, and she's going to awkwardly show up like, hey, so you're back, and...
See, I think Hank is still pining for Sarah, but I think Sarah's over Hank.
I don't think Sarah's over Hank yet.
I think maybe Sarah might develop a little fling with her new neighbor, Carl.
What if there's something like she starts something with Carl, and then Hank comes over, and some drama happens? I hope something like that.
And then Mark comes back in the picture,
and then it's like a love square octagon, however many.
But it seems like Sarah and Amber are gonna get into it a little bit with Amber's engagement, because, you know, the previews for the season, she was saying, you know, don't make the same mistakes I did. She's like, I'm not you. It's like, well, she's got a point there.
Apple doesn't really fall.
A lot of people in the military get married young.
Yeah.
So
that's Amber's always been more adult about everything in her life.
Yeah, hopefully she can learn from Sarah's past relationships and all of her mistakes. But thank you guys for listening and watching us. The brand new show we're so excited to talk about. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheTianHobson.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danica Kennedy.
And you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram, and also on the Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah. Once
after shows.
Sunday.
With Tiana starting back this upcoming Sunday. And I'm also on Glee. And you can follow us all us here at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you to Phil engineering our amazing after show here. And we will see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.